Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley. Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
All right, for the next few weeks, next 3 weeks after this week to the end of December, we're going to be doing each Sunday evening after Kids Sing is we're going to be highlighting our heads of work and what it is that they do and the kinds of needs that they have. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to represent the ladies ministry to start off, and then Derek Smith will talk about the deaf ministry, and then Spencer Heckman will talk about the sound, and then Stephen Anderson will talk about security, and then we will begin our worship. All right, the ladies ministry is headed up by Alyssa Clark and Virginia Carden. And what the Lady Ministries does at West Huntsville, they really focus on three areas. One is a Christian service, the other is a Christian fellowship, and of course the last one is Christian growth. And so there are all kinds of opportunities in these different areas for each lady to utilize their unique abilities and talents. And so what I'm going to do is kind of go through some of the different areas. The Dorcas class meets, and so if you're ever here on Wednesday morning around 9 o'clock, you'll see several cars here in the parking lot, and they'll meet in the room right across from the office. And what they do is they make these adorable stuffed bears. And what Glenn Colley is going to do at this time is he's going to hold up some of these bears. Now, one of these bears doesn't have a face on it, but Lori Bailey will put a face on it soon. And these bears are given out to hospitalized children in the Huntsville area. And presently there are approximately about 20 ladies that go and they sew and they do such a great job. And thank you, Glenn, for that. But, you know, what we do in giving these to these children is it has a great impact on their families. And so it creates goodwill. That's what we're about, creating goodwill. And so people be more receptive to the gospel. And we often have people call the office and say thank you for those bears. Next is the Dorcas Hat Helpers. And what they do is the ladies knit or crochet hat for cancer patients at the Clearview Cancer Institute and for babies at the neonatal ICU in Huntsville Hospital. It's incredible, but hundreds of these hats have already been made by some of our ladies here at West Huntsville, and then Judy Denson makes these deliveries. The next area is the Ladies' Night Out. They meet on the second Monday night of each month, and they have a period of devotional time, and they encourage one another, and then they will send out cards for those who were sick, maybe missionaries, and they also we'll invite some of our young ladies as they prepare for the lads to leaderettes and so forth. That song leading or speech, they'll come in, they'll do that for them. And the next is the nursing home. Now, this work goes way back. It goes back, in fact, to about 40 years ago. And each Tuesday, there's about 15 or 20 residents of Brookshire Nursing Home, and they have their hair washed and styled by these ladies here at West Huntsville. Now, let me say the majority of these ladies had no prior experience about professional hairstyling. So that is to say that you don't have to be a professional to do this. You just have to have a willing heart. And we're in need for some ladies to help with this at this time. Also, there is the Digging Deep Bible Study and Podcast. And it's a study for ladies for all over this country. And I think there's, 5,000 or 6,000 that participate in that. And it also offers independent study for these ladies at home. And so these, our group of ladies meets usually on a Monday night, one Monday night a month. And they also have a live podcast each month. In addition to what I've already mentioned, our ladies have an annual ladies retreat. They also have a ladies seminar. Now, the ladies seminar is usually the odd numbered years, and the purity days are the even numbered years. But a lot of times you'll look on the welcome desk out in the foyer, and what you'll see is all these beautiful baskets for our new members, these welcome baskets. And so our ladies make up these and do just a fabulous, fabulous job. They host showers for new brides and also for new moms. And a lot of times what you'll see in the messenger is you'll see on Wednesday night, it's listed that in room 119 after the closing prayer, what you'll find is there's a group of ladies that meet in this room 119, and what they do is they pray for our congregation and for missionaries and for our government and things like that. And so they do such a phenomenal job. You know, there's about 17 of our women that heads up these various works. And we're so very proud and thankful, and we love the ladies here and all that they do to help this congregation grow and to meet the need. So if you have any questions about what I've talked about in regards to the lady ministry, or if you would like to help and volunteer, if you would please see Alyssa Clark or Virginia Carden. Derek.
So Holly and I, along with Troy and the Clarks and the Dohertys, have been collaborating with the deaf members for over a year now. And our primary focus is on spiritual growth, fellowship, which is really important, and accessibility. So some of the things that we do that you may or may not be aware of, first of all, we every year and a half we host the state deaf meeting, and we had that a couple of months ago. But we also attend that every quarter throughout the state, and we try to help our members to go to that. Currently, we're in the process of supporting the Maysville congregation, as they have they're hosting the National Deaf Christian Workshop next June. We actually had a planning meeting today, and we'll be asking for your support with specific things from this congregation as we move forward with that work. We'll give you announcements for those things. And we hope that some people from here will be able to attend. It's the week of June the 9th, which is the week before our camp. But we're going to be announcing this and encouraging anybody to attend that. But if you'd like to volunteer and help with it, there's lots and lots of committees that you can be involved with. Transportation, helping with food, whatever the case may be. You may say, well, Derek, I don't know sign language. Trust me, you can drive a car. It's okay. You don't have to know sign language to drive people around, because these people come from all over the nation, and they don't necessarily rent cars and such. So any help with that would be appreciated. We have a couple Facebook accounts, one for our members here. Just started a state Facebook account as well, so that the state deaf Christians, which are not a lot of them, they actually all know each other, where they can communicate with each other. And so I'm managing that right now. Of course, we provide interpreting services. Troy does a great job with that. Randy and I have been trying to do the songs, as y'all have probably been seeing. One of the works that we do is our sign language classes. The biggest need that we have is for people to learn sign language. Jerry and Carol and Wanda and Jonathan are great people. And I know a lot of you talk to them, and you can communicate with them fine. But learning basic signs and being able to talk with them, it's something that we really want to encourage everybody to do. But we also need interpreters. And we really need some male interpreters besides the three of us that are working on it right now. Holly and I decided 2 years ago to do this together. And we practiced at home, and we talked to each other at home in sign language. No, we're not perfect, and we're still got a long way to go, but it's been great getting to know our deaf members, and not only deaf members here, but the deaf members across the state. And I really hope that somebody will take the initiative to come talk with me about possibly doing that. We're going to start the basic or the beginning ASL class again in January. And so it's a great opportunity if you wanted to start then to jump in. Troy teaches that class. Jerry is actually going to be teaching an advanced class for some of us who's been doing it for a little while. And he's going to be doing it in sign language, so that'll be fun. But it's okay. So anyway, we want to continue to do some more things. We're continuing to grow the work. But at the same time, one of the main things we need right now is for people to get invested in trying to be able to communicate with our deaf members who are strong parts of this congregation. And so I strongly encourage any of you, if you just want to learn sign where you can have a conversation with them, that's great. But we'd love to have some people who would dive into the interpreting game with us as well. Thank you.
All right. Now it's my turn. I got started with helping with the sound room a few years ago. BC, he was looking for another helper to help out with some of the PowerPoint operations. And so Eric kind of tossed my name into the pot as a suggestion. So thanks, Eric. After helping with that for a little while, I started helping out a little bit more. Coming in a little bit early and helping get things set up before worship services, just helping out a little bit more as time went on. So it was sometime last year, BC asked me if I wanted to help out on a more permanent basis, and so obviously I said yes. So here we are today. And our operations there in the sound room include checking and making sure that everything is running, basically. Everything being microphones, the projectors are turned on and running. We had some issues with that earlier today, actually. The computers, all that, to make sure that everything is running smoothly. For our services here on a regular basis. Oftentimes, like I said, it requires coming in a little bit early before services start to help set everything up. We normally have a regular rotation for our volunteers that help with that work. These guys that we have that help with that, we cycle through like 1 month every few months. And they'll either be on an AM or a PM shift. Usually the guys on the AM shift will help out with the Sunday morning services and the Bible class time. The evening operators, they'll help with the Sunday evening services like tonight and the Wednesday evening services as well. There are basically two spots that those guys sit in, two operators back there in our little magic school bus. One of them is on the soundboard, which is BC tonight. They're primarily responsible for handling the equalizer that keeps the levels where they need to be. They'll be in charge of turning the microphones on and off for the speakers as they're needed. Also the PowerPoint operator, he's the guy that runs these screens back here. Whenever we have singing, they'll be the one advancing the slides, or they'll help out with speakers and their presentations, help advancing their presentations in an effective manner. Every time that there's worship service, if there's a gospel meeting or an area-wide singing or a Bible study or Bible bowl, pretty much anything that requires some kind of audio equipment or presentation or lighting or something like that, we'll have someone back there running it all. And so that's what we do. If you know anybody that helps out with that, make sure to tell them thank you. A lot of times they're kind of forgotten about back there in their little corner. Or if you're interested in helping, we can always use more people to help out with that. A few good helpers would be good if someone's out of town or sick or whatever. And you can just get in touch with me, and we can get you started with that.
Hi, I'm Steven Anderson, and I was randomly selected to be in a point of contact for security. Security has always been an issue, ever, especially since we were in the last building, if anybody was here to remember that. But in light of the normal run-of-the-mill security concerns, in light of some of the more high-profile security concerns, such as active shooter events, we just want to let y'all know that we do have a plan in place for these sorts of things, that it is taken into consideration. And that's about all that I'm going to say about that, because I don't want to be a fearmonger, but things that more recently we have to take into account are noticed by the elders, and so we do have a plan put in place to address the wide range of security concerns. Some things that we've implemented that you, I'm sure, have noticed are having a patrol car sitting out front, especially on Sunday mornings, just for having visibility of a police car there. There's always three men that are on that are assigned on security for each worship service, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. They're always out back, either in the lobby or walking around in the parking lot to keep an eye on everybody's cars while we're inside. You might have noticed those people being out there. And we do lock the doors between 5 and 10 minutes after the worship service has begun. Maybe sometimes it happens a little bit sooner, and you get here 3 minutes late, and you're locked out, and you have to go to the front door, and it's really inconvenient. But that's one of those security precautions we put into place to try to be able to screen who comes into the church building after worship service starts. We do have a plan, and we have purchased a new camera system that includes 24 cameras. It should be coming in this week, and we have plans to get that installed sometime at the beginning of the coming year. So that will be installed forthwith. The biggest thing that, as a congregation, that I would like for y'all to pay attention to is that we do have a formalized active shooter plan. It has been put down on paper, and there are copies of it sitting behind the desk in the main lobby back here. What I ask that everyone does is get a copy of that active shooter plan, familiarize yourself with it, because just like anything else, like having a fire plan or a tornado plan, unfortunately that's something that we have to keep in the back of our minds. So there is a plan in place. What I would like everyone to do is familiarize yourself with that plan, and if, heaven forbid, that something like that were to happen, at least we have some idea of what we can do to kind of mitigate that threat and hopefully get through it as best we can. But please do that. As far as everyone being part of the security team, that is the biggest help for us. And like they said back in World War II, if you see something, say something to somebody. If you see something that looks out of place or something that looks kind of fishy, come to me, come to Jason Clark or one of the men that's standing back there in the back on security, and let us know so we can kind of keep an eye on that and we'll address it if it rises to that level of needing to be addressed. But y'all, please take a look at that active shooter plan and familiarize yourself with it. If you're interested in being part of security or helping out with that in a formal way, please get in touch with me. I'll be happy to take any help that I can get. Thanks a lot.
I'm glad we're doing this heads of work thing, and I'm glad that we spent time with deacons recently and let them talk about the works that they do. It's really good for us as a church. Come to worship like we do, like we're doing tonight, and you just don't realize that there's a whole team of people that are doing things to make this happen with this kind of comfort, and it happens so seamlessly. I want to thank Stephen and Derek and Spencer for what they did tonight. I want to say something about audiovisual. The best kind of audiovisual is the kind where you don't realize it's even happening. You just know that you can hear and that you can see and that things happen smoothly and it just comes together. But it's not just that. The live stream is so very important. As you know, I go around different places in the country through the year preaching, and it is very common for somebody to approach me and say, "I want you to tell your guys at West Huntsville how much we appreciate the live stream and how much we watch it and the website and all the different things that people can access there." And lots and lots of people are taking part of what's happening at West Huntsville through that medium. And I'm just so very glad, thankful for them. And tonight, as any time we're meeting for worship, lots of folks are meeting with us that you don't see because they're watching live stream. And we want to welcome them and tell them we're grateful. When I was 12, one of our elders, living in Oklahoma, well, I lived there because that's where my parents were and I wanted to be close to them. But one of our elders came to the boys who were my age and said, I want you to quote Romans 12. And what he did was to divvy it up between us, and then on a given night, however long, while we took turn about, the boys would come up and we would recite verses from Romans 12 until we had the whole chapter, which scared me to death, you know, now. But I can remember which one that I was assigned, and it was Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. And you'll probably remember it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want you to think just a minute about the mercies of God. What comes to your mind? I think about pity. I mean, you think about somebody who needs mercy and someone on whom you would have mercy. What do you think about? You think about pity. And to this morning we were talking from Psalm 51 and from Psalm 103. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. That's mercy. That's what that is. And the Bible talks so much about God's mercy, Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What would you do without his mercy? In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, the Bible says that God is the Father of mercies. He originated mercy. He is the epitome of mercy. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, 22 and 23, that God's mercies are new every morning. And when you woke up this morning, you had God's mercy on you as one of his children. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Now, I said all that to bring you back to our verse. When Paul wanted to encourage the people to be Christians, to be faithful Christians, through and through Christians, he said it this way. He begged them based on God's mercy. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Is that important to you? Is that valuable to you? I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Now, mind you, that might be required of you, Revelation 2:10, but probably not. What he really wants is for you to live for him. A living sacrifice means that there isn't any facet of my life that's not affected by my Christianity. It's a lifestyle. I live this lifestyle. That's what he wants. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. Don't be conformed to the world. This is different from that. Be transformed. How are you transformed? By the renewing of your minds. When you study the Word of God, you grow in that Word and it changes you. It changes how you think. It changes how you act. It changes your character and your personality. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove, that you may put to the test and demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I wonder if you're doing that tonight. And if the answer is no, and maybe you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, I want to encourage you to do that right now. What about now? And if you don't mind me borrowing the words of Paul, I beseech you, I beg you by the mercies of God, think about the mercies of God. And tonight you could present your body a living sacrifice to say, I want to be baptized, to have my sins washed away. I want to be in Christ and live my life for him. And you can do that, a living sacrifice. If you need the prayers of the Christians, we'd be so happy to pray with you tonight.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.